2, if you would please go and grab your Bibles, Genesis chapter 2. We're just going to read one verse to start, but I'm going to warn you now, I got a lot of verses planned. I think that we ought to look at what the Bible says. You're not here for my opinion, and if you are, then thank you for being my biggest supporter, because no one ever does that. I want to look at a bunch of verses today in regards to the subject. And so let's just read one verse, Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15, and I'll let you be seated, okay? Genesis 2:15, the Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Okay, if you've ever endeavored to read your Bible, you've made it at least this far, right? And so we've all read Genesis chapter 2 many times, I'm sure. And there's a lot of preaching and teaching I've heard over the years about Adam and about Eve, first man, first woman, of course. But I've also heard some interesting things about this subject that we're going to talk about, and that is the subject of work. And what I'd like to specifically talk about, here's the thought for this morning: shifting the perspective of work. Now, I had, to be perfectly honest with you, I had another message ready, but I really believe that this is where the Lord wants us, so who am I to say different? And so I'd like to, at the College and Career Conference, it seems appropriate that maybe we talk a little bit about work and what it means specifically for the Christian, because if you're here this morning, I'm assuming it's because you want to know what the Bible says, you're serious about serving God, you want to walk with God, and if that's the case, then I think we need some guidance sometimes. And so shifting the perspective of work. All right, let's pray, and then let's be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the day, and as we've prayed many times, we're grateful for the conference, we're grateful for the preaching already, and the songs as well. And I just ask that as the second session goes on here, that you would help us to stay in the room this morning. And I'm sure that there's some distractions, there's some things on our mind. I ask, Father, that you'd help us to clear all those things. And may we just give your word the respect due unto it. And Father, we all know it's not about the speaker, it's about your word. And I just ask that you would help us with that. Love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Y'all can be seated. Shifting the perspective of work. Now, there's a multitude of things that I thought about saying that I think are relevant, but again, it's not about my opinion this morning. And so what I'd like to do is just kind of shift the perspective. You know, I've known a lot of people over the years. You have too, and the approach to work seems very different, even among church people. You know, there are some folks in churches who think that work is just about paying the bills. Now, your work should pay the bills. Okay, and that's part of why we go, I'm sure. But you understand that work to a Christian should not just be about the paycheck. There should be more involved in it. One thing that I've noticed over the years is that my work is also about some of the relationships that I can build with people. Sometimes work is about, maybe I'm just in my workplace because God wants to teach me a lesson. He's allowed to do that. He's allowed to put me under a supervisor or a manager or somebody that is more of a lesson than a blessing. God's able to do that. And again, who am I to say any different? You know, I've had the privilege of working for some good bosses over the years. I've had a lesser blessing of working under some folks that did nothing but teach me how not to treat people. And can y'all relate to that at all? A little bit. And what I realized over the years is that working under those bosses that we like to talk about, you know, the bosses that, man, they're just the worst. They have it out for me. They're targeting me. You know, they have favorites. They this, they that. I realized looking back, I learned how not to be. And sometimes God brings us through those things, don't you think? Come on now. I think it's possible. I think it's possible that maybe God is teaching you a lesson on how not to treat people or how to treat people. I've had some bosses that are very compassionate and sympathetic. They may not be a Christian, but they have a gift of empathy. I think some people have the gift of compassion and sympathy and empathy. I'm not very good at that. I've been working on it over the years. I'm more of a letter of the law, thus saith the Lord kind of guy. But sometimes there's, you know, God is also a God of mercy and a God of compassion. And you can learn that from people too. And so when it comes to this idea of work, you know, y'all are in the college and career age, right? And so you're probably trying to figure out what God would have you to do. You're probably trying to figure out, am I supposed to go to college? Am I supposed to go to trade school? Am I supposed to just enter the workforce? What does that look like for me? And I'm just going to ruin it for you right now. I don't have the answer. If you're looking at me for the answer, go talk to Brother Alder, okay? One of the three elders that we have here. Go talk to one of them. Because I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out what my life looks like, so I'm not ready to help you with yours. But what I do know is that God has something to say about everything in our life, and work is one of those things. Absolutely it is. And so I'd like to look at some scripture here, and I want to address something really quickly. The reason why I chose Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15, is I heard one time, and I hope that nobody believes this, I heard one time that work is a result of the sinful fall of man. It's not true. Genesis chapter 2 predates the fall of man. So I'd remind you that God wanted work to be a good thing. It is good for a person to work. Now, where that is, that's the problem, right? There are some folks that are that God would have them to go on, out into the workforce or go into this, go into that. There's some ladies that that God would have be at home, and there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, that's work too. I watched my mom stay at home for years, and let me tell you, she worked every bit as hard as my dad did, mainly because she had to put up with me. But she had my sisters too, and they're even worse. And so there's plenty of work out there, and I don't want to make it sound like something that it isn't. But I will say that work was designed by God partly, and I'll touch on this at the very end, to help give purpose in life. To help give purpose. Now, our purpose should be to follow God. Our purpose should be to magnify Him, to glorify Him, to serve in the church, and do those things. But it is good for a person to work. And so I want to kind of shift our perspective a little bit here. So let's talk about some positives to work. Let's start with the positive, and then we'll talk about some pitfalls. Okay? So get ready to turn to some verses here, but some positives. I got four of them. Okay? Four. I know every good Baptist preacher has three. That's why I picked four, because I don't claim to be a good one. And so four points here. Work is a positive thing in our lives. So number one, work helps us with stewardship. You know, stewardship is a good biblical principle. Most of the time when we talk about stewardship, we think about, how can I use what I have for something else? A lot of times, you'll hear preaching on stewardship, specifically involving money and finances, right? God has given me, so I should give as well. I should steward what God has given. That falls true to the talents God has given you too. And listen, I've been teaching the college age long enough to know that there's always somebody in the room who says, well, Brother Mason, I don't have any talents. Yes, you do. Yeah, you do. God doesn't create worthless things. Everyone has a talent. Everyone has a skill. Everyone has an ability. Everyone has something that they can do. You just have to be willing to find it. And I think the reason why a lot of people don't want a steward is because, can I be honest with you, they're too lazy to figure out what it is. Because it's so easy to just coast through life and not understand what there is more required of a steward. There's some accountability to be paid. There's a cost to be paid, as Brother Audrey was talking about last night. So stewardship. Work is a great place to exercise stewardship. Let's turn to some verses here. Ephesians chapter 4, go ahead and head there with me. I really thought about doing some Bible drills. I thought it'd be fun, but again, competition I don't think is very good around the preaching time, all right? So Ephesians chapter 4, just one verse. Each of these is just one verse, okay? So just hang with me here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, it says, let him that stole steal no more. Hey, you ought not to steal. Do I need to say that? Please don't steal. And hey, this just came to mind. There are different ways of stealing. I'm not just talking about shoplifting. When you're at work, you ought to work. It's called time fraud. It's called theft. You ought to work. You ought to work hard. Let's keep going. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Listen, friend, that talks about stewardship. God has given, so I should use my hands to do the work. Who gave you those hands? God did. Very clearly. In the Psalms, David talks about how it's fearfully and wonderfully made. God constructed every part of you. That includes not just your physical body, but your mind, your intellect. All of those things. All of those things work together so that God can use them for something else. And I want you to notice the last phrase of verse number 28. That he may give to him that needeth. Stewardship is not just about me. It's about taking what God has given me to benefit something else. Your work is an opportunity to do that. Your work gives you a unique opportunity to come face to face with somebody who you can invest in. And they can invest in you. Remember what I was talking about? A lot of times work comes into this. Whenever we talk about work, we like to focus on the bad. We like to talk about the boss this, the co-worker that, the customer this. Anybody in customer service? Whoa. I did it for a long time, okay? I was a grocery store manager for about 7 years or so. I worked for a small company called Aldi. You ever heard of it? So I was a store manager there, and then I was warehouse operations manager there. So I moved to the warehouse so that I could get away from dealing with people. And then I found out that the warehouse workers are worse than the customers. So anyway, the Lord was teaching me a lesson, I think. But anyway, so you'll find out that work is a great place to exercise stewardship. That customer that you come face-to-face with, you have no idea what day they've had. That coworker that drives you nuts and they're super clingy, it's probably because they're lonely. You have opportunity after opportunity to exercise stewardship. And listen, you don't just have a job. God gave you a job as an opportunity. If nothing else, there's some more reasons too. I'm just getting started. All right, I'm just getting started. Stewardship is a big thing. Anybody here in management, supervisor, manager, anything like that? When you manage people, you have the greatest opportunity of stewardship. When you earn the team's respect, it means everything. It means everything. The role that I'm currently in with another small company, it's called UPS. You ever heard of that? So I'm inside operations manager there, and so my job is just to oversee the different teams and things. And you know what I've realized? When you have the team's respect, they'll do about anything for you. Those of you not in management, you should strive to be the type of team member that encourages others along. You know who I depend on the most? It's not the supervisors under me. It's the team members who have a good standing with the other team members, because they can help drive the team in a certain direction. They're encouraging. They're lifting up. To my knowledge, they're not saved, but even the world understands this concept. Even the world can recognize a good manager or a good supervisor. They know exactly what it looks like. They just don't want to be it. And so, stewardship, good opportunity at work. Y'all with me so far? We all okay? All right, these next ones will go just a little bit faster here. Maybe. We'll see. All right, so number two, work is a positive in our lives because of, secondly, it allows us to exhibit diligence and hard work. Diligence and hard work. Head over with me, if you would, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 10. Familiar verse, I think. It says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he what?" Anybody like to eat? Those of you who said no, guess what? You don't get lunch today. How about that? No, we all like to eat, don't we? We like to eat. At least as much as you eat is how hard you should work. No, I'm kidding. That's not a biblical principle. But I do think that it goes, when you depend on the Lord and when you depend on your work to feed you, it'll change how you work. Does that make sense at all? You know the people that I like to hire? The people that have a family to take care of. Because they're not dependent on mom and dad. If they don't show up to work, mom and dad are just going to pay the bills. When you can find a young person who doesn't have a family, but who works like a man who has 6 kids and a mortgage, that is a diamond in the rough, my friend. If you as a Christian can wrap your mind around diligence and hard work, and listen, by hard work, I don't mean you're just running around sweating all the time. I mean you're actually working. You're actually being productive with your time. There's many things that you can do to diligently work. I have one guy in particular that comes to mind. He came to me and he said, hey Mason, do you have a second? I was like, yeah, sure, what's up? And so he walked in and he said, I just want to know what to do. He's like, there's nothing to do right now. And I was like, you're my guy. So now he does some of the extra things, so to speak. It's still within his job description. I don't abuse them like that, but it's still in his job description. Just some things he didn't know. And so he showed the initiative to ask. Amazing. Novel concept. If you can just learn diligence and hard work, it's not just for your employer. You understand that when you develop a character trait like that, it carries over to every part of your life. All of a sudden, you're the most productive church member. Your pastor's going to say, hey, are you okay? You all right? You were sitting in the pew, and now you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this. Is everything okay? Are we having a revival, and I just didn't know it? You know, there's all these different things, and it carries over to every part of your life. Guys, I'm not a lady, but I'm going to speak for them anyway, okay? Ladies don't necessarily like lazy guys. Sure. Yeah. And guys don't necessarily like lazy ladies. Mm-hmm. It's attractive when someone is diligent. Yeah. Yeah. when they are when they exhibit initiative, when they exhibit hard work, those things are attractive to somebody because it speaks to who they are as a person, not just the show that they put on. All of us put on a show, don't we, to a certain extent? Sure we do. But work gives us an outlet, a positive outlet for diligence and hard work. Are you okay? Did I step on too many toes too early? I've only got so much time, okay? The toe stomping has to come. All right, so number three, the third positive outlet of work is integrity and honesty. Gives you an opportunity to be honest. You know what I've found? There's a lot of people out there who lie to me, especially at work. So let's look at a verse here. Should go without saying, but Galatians chapter 6, head over there with me, please. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Let's look at verses 4 and 5 here. Galatians 6, verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let every man prove his own work. To prove means that it is, it's provable. Can I put it to you that way? To prove your own work, it means you're honest about your work. It means what you say you did, you did. What you say you're going to do, you're going to do. When the boss asks, was something done? Yes, and I can say I did it well. You see, these three, before I go any further, if you can master these three, you will stand out like a sore thumb among your peers. You really will. They will. Everybody will take note. And listen, I don't want to blow my point for later on, but if you can master those three things and you can stand out like that, you'd be amazed how many people suddenly want to talk to you about spiritual things. Hey, why do you come in early? Why are you on time every day? That's a question I've heard. Why are you on time every day? This is the stuff I deal with, guys. Why are you on time every day? Hey, you know, you don't have to work that hard. Well, because I serve a God who's worthy of it. My boss may not be worthy of it. My company may not be worthy of it. But I work for them. They sign my paycheck, but it's God who gave me the opportunity. So I'm going to honor him with it. It opens doors that you thought weren't even there to be a testimony for Christ. It's a positive thing, don't you think? It's a positive thing. Absolutely. All right, so number four, so we can move on here. It gives you an opportunity. Work gives you a positive opportunity to serve God. Should be obvious, but let's look at that verse. Galatians, that's not a book. Colossians, chapter number 3. Sorry about that. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 22. Let's look at that. Colossians 3, 22, 23, and 24. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 22. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Those verses, they're literally written to people that are employed by someone else. Servants, in verse 22. You see it? Does everybody see it? Okay, you had me worried there for a second. I was like, what Bible are y'all reading from? Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, it says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. But verse 23 is the focus there, don't you think? Verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to who? And he goes on to say specifically, and not unto men. Why do you think that is? Well, because men don't deserve it. Can we be honest? Your boss doesn't really deserve you to work heartily unto them. Probably not. Unless if it's like your parent or something, and then don't tell them I said that. But most likely, your boss probably doesn't deserve for you to work super, super hard. But the Lord is worthy of it. The hardest that you can work, the most you can put your mind to, the more skills you can learn, the more talents that you gain, the more employable you are, that's not for you, it's for Him. So put yourself in the place where God wants you to be. God opens doors to those who are ready to have the door opened. If you don't like where you're at, then ask the Lord where He would like you to go and start taking steps to do that. It's that whole stewardship initiative thing that I talked about already. Do you think it's possible that you're stuck in your job because You're asking God for something new, but you're not ready to work on the new thing. Let's focus on our walk with God, and then that will open up other things. Maybe God will open up, maybe you'll learn that your workplace has some sort of a education program to where you can start working on a different degree and they'll pay for it. That's a thing. You know Walmart does that? Even if you're a part-time cashier, you can go to school and get reimbursed for your school. It's not that hard. You just have to be willing to go where God wants you to go. Now, I'm not advocating Walmart as a great place to work. But I am saying if that's where God wants you, that's where you ought to stick. It's where you ought to be. And He'll open up doors for you. There's all kinds of opportunities. But listen, we have to shift our perspective onto the positive. Instead of going around complaining and whining and being upset about how many hours I have to work or my boss is this or, man, I'm the only one that works. Quit it. Just quit it. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where God blesses someone who's negative. I don't see anywhere where God says, go ahead and complain, I'll let you have your moment. You know, I do that to some of my employees sometimes. They'll come up and they'll want to talk about something. I'll be like, all right, pull up a chair. You know, let's talk about it. And when I say let's talk, I mean you talk and then I'll just tell you the same thing that I just told you a second ago. And just let them vent and get it all out and then we're okay. You know, God doesn't bless people who just walk around complaining. God doesn't bless people who don't work hard because they don't like whatever. Work hard where God's put you so that He may prepare something different. I could give you story after story, and there's plenty of you in here who could probably tell your peers, you know, I worked for this boss or I worked for this company and it was awful. But God opened up another door. So I'm just telling you, there are some positive aspects to work. Okay? Y'all okay so far? Can we keep going? Okay, if not, I'm going to park it and we're just going to stay there. All right, but I'll trust you. Okay, so there's some positive aspects to work. Now listen, instead of talking about negative things, here's what I want to do. I want to warn you of some of the pitfalls. Some of the pitfalls of work. Because you understand that work, it should be a positive thing in our perspective. We should work hard. We should exercise stewardship. We should do all those things. But listen, I've met plenty of Christians who go off in this career-minded mindset. And it'll sink them. I know that because I'm kind of ashamed to admit it, but I went through that several years ago when I was first coming up in Aldi. You know, if you've ever kind of shot up the career ladder, you know, people start to, you know, oh man, you're so great, you're so this, you're so that. Here's another promotion, and it feels good. It feels good because they're stroking your ego, they're puffing up your flesh, and next thing you know, you're not necessarily doing what you think God would have you to do. So I'm just telling you, there are some pitfalls to work, especially if you're the type of young man or young woman who is ambitious, who has a drive about you. And that alone is rare, by the way. But if you're an ambitious person, I want to lay out some pitfalls to work. Okay? Are y'all okay with that? Good, because that's what we're doing. Okay, so negative aspects of work, or pitfalls of work. The first one is work can be an opportunity for you to be lazy or idle. Lazy and idle. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 18. I think all of these are in Proverbs, because Proverbs says a lot about work. I'm not sure if you know that or not. I'd encourage you to read Proverbs every so often. Proverbs chapter 18. Did I give you the address there? Proverbs 18, verse number 9. Proverbs 18 and verse number 9. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm getting a little worried about you. Your enthusiasm seems to be dropping off a cliff here. And I don't know if that's because I pushed you too early. I don't know. Maybe you're just hungry. I don't know. Proverbs 18, verse number 9. It says, he also that is slothful in his what? Work is brother to him that is a great waster. You know, work for some people, they want to get the paycheck, but do the minimum amount necessary for the paycheck. Can I just tell you, that's not how a child of God should view work. Work is an opportunity for you to exercise the stewardship and the diligence and all the positive things we talked about, but it can also kill the testimony of a Christian. If you're the employee who's known for doing the minimum, if you're the employee who's known for getting out of there as soon as you can, and not exhibiting that diligence and hard work that's associated with the Bible and biblical principles, people take note of that. I can go to any member of my team and say, who do you think is the laziest person on the team? And someone will always give a name. People always know. They mark the lazy one, don't they?
Yep.
Come on now. Y'all know this as well as I do. If I asked you, I'm not going to, but if I asked anyone in the room and said, hey, at your workplace, who's the laziest person? You know what you're probably not going to say? Oh, there's nobody lazy. Nope. We're all working 110%, Brother Mason. We are the best. Unless if you're a stay-at-home mom, that's probably not true. Okay? If you're a stay-at-home mom, then you are the best. All right? But it's an opportunity... It's an opportunity to go against the grain of the culture.
Amen.
Yes. Absolutely it is. Because work, one of the pitfalls of work is gaining a paycheck, but doing the minimum to receive it. You know, I fear sometimes that that mentality comes over to church life.
Yep.
Everybody wants the ministries. Everybody wants the benefits of a church, but nobody wants to serve.
Yep.
Now, thankfully, that's not true at our church, I don't think. As far as I can tell, and if you have a different opinion, then don't tell me. I want to live in my ignorance. But as far as I can tell, our church is full of people who serve, and I think our church is blessed by that. But it should never be just a handful, just one family who carries everything. We all ought to take part. This laziness and idleness thing, it's not just for your workplace. We ought to never take that mentality into God's house, among God's people. It's easy to do. These things are character traits. They're not simply just things that happen once in a while. So one of the pitfalls of work is laziness and idleness. The second one, I'm going to call it idolatry. Idolatry. You know what idolatry was in the Bible, right? It's when somebody put something above God. That's the simplest definition. Most of the time in the Old Testament, it was false gods, wasn't it? Little statues or the gods of the Hivites and Jebusites and all the other ites in there. Okay, they carried their false gods over into Israel, and God wasn't having it. He wasn't having it. There shall be no gods before me. Y'all remember verses like that? And so time and time again, there was this commandment, this principle, this precept, all the things that said, do not take this into God's house. God's people should not be engaged in idolatry. I wonder how many people set up their work, set up their career above God. Let's look at a verse here. Proverbs 21, a couple pages over. Proverbs 21 and verse number 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. It says the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. And I talked last night about abundance, that God wants you to have an abundant life. Now, plenteousness there, the Bible continuously blesses the diligent man. Okay? I could have many verses on this, but someone who is diligent, someone who is intentional with their life, someone who works hard and fulfills all the definitions of the word diligent, you understand that they will experience plenty. Now listen, just like last night when I talked about abundance, that plenty may not be plenty of money. You hear me? It may not be plenty of personal time off. It may not be plenty of the things that we often seek, but there will be plenty. And listen, if there's plenty of God in your life, you're doing just fine. You're doing just fine. If there's plenty of church in your life, you're doing just fine. If there's plenty of Bible in your life, you're doing just fine. The Bible doesn't say what type of plenteousness. All it says is that the diligent tend to it. The Bible blesses diligence. Are y'all following the math here? The Bible blesses diligence, so wouldn't you ascertain from that that the plenty would be a good thing? Absolutely. Because like all the other Proverbs, you'll notice that there's a contrasting statement at the end. Let's read the verse again, Proverbs 21, verse 5, where it says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, contrasting thoughts, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. You understand that the hasty person is always looking for the next best thing. They're always looking for the thing that will make life better. All right? So here's the principle. Here's the application here. When the child of God goes to work and is only looking for the next best thing, they're not serving God well. When they go to work and they say, I want more money and I'm willing to sacrifice Wednesday night service to get it, you're doing it wrong.
Right.
When you decide, I'm going to take this next promotion, oh, Brother Mason, I might have to work two or three Sundays out of the month, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, I'm just telling you that this idea of plenty and this idea of want, They trap the minds of college and career age people. You hearing me? And it can happen to us older folks too. Okay? But I think in this pivotal time of life where you're trying to decide what career and you're trying to decide, do I go into this? Do I go into that? You ought to be real careful about what you decide to, where you decide to go. That's all I'm saying. Be careful not to be a hasty young person who says, I'm just going to chase this career because I'm supposed to make this much money. Don't go to college and get that degree so that you can gain that so you can graduate and not have a job. Y'all ever seen this before? I had a guy apply for the for a warehouse position, warehouse associate position. He literally had a degree in biochemistry. My first question, why are you here? He's like, well, graduated college, can't find a job in my career field. Okay. You know, I got to be nice in an interview. But what I'm thinking is, what are you doing? Why did you go to do that thing? And the answer, more often than not, I didn't ask him because you got to be careful what you say in an interview. But the reality of the situation is a lot of times people go to college and they're looking to make this much money on the back end. And what happens when you don't make it? What happens when you step outside the plenty of God because you're hasty for want? That's all I'm saying. Now, if God wants you to be a biochemist, then go do that. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is be careful that you're not choosing a career path or a college field or whatever. Be careful you're not picking that just because of what you think you're going to get. Don't be hasty for want. Be diligent because it will tend to plenteousness. Now listen, I told you last night, I like plenty. I like abundance. I like all of the things that keep me warm and filled. But being hasty doesn't do that. It keeps you wanting more and more and more. Y'all with me? We all still friends? Okay. All right, so let's keep moving here. The third pitfall of work, this should be obvious to us, but I'm going to state it anyway because that's what preachers do. We state the obvious. Okay, so the third pitfall to work would be pride and self-reliance. You ever met somebody prideful at work? If you haven't, it might be you. There's always a prideful person at work. Always somebody who thinks that that they are there because they are God's greatest gift to mankind. Y'all never met somebody like that? It might be you. No, I'm kidding. Proverbs chapter 14. Go ahead and turn over there with me, please. Then I have a couple of examples because some of you are looking at me like you've never experienced this before. Proverbs 14 and verse 23. Now look at this. Look at this with me. Proverbs 14, 23. In all labor there is profit. Can we pause right there? You will gain something from work. Again, it may be a lesson of how not to do things. It may be a lesson of how not to deal with people. It might be a lesson of how to deal with people. Regardless, work is always profitable. You know, some of the hardest and best work I've ever done has been here at the church. It's been going hands-on with people, working alongside people, gaining wisdom from others. It's profitable. It's hard because most of the time we don't have the right tools. We don't have the best materials. We don't have the things that can make the job easier. So it's harder, but it's profitable. All right, so let's keep reading here. Verse 23, in all labor there's profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. I don't know if y'all know what that word means, but it means destitution. It means poverty. The guy who talks and talks and talks and talks, not your preacher, but the guy at work, who talks and talks and talks, most of the time, all of his talking is about himself. And you know what pride and self-reliance gets you? It gets you want, but in the end, at the very least, it'll give you spiritual poverty. The person who can only talk about themselves, the person who can only talk about my accolades and my degrees and my awards and my certifications and my this, my that, that person is a hard target for the gospel. If you think that you are all sufficient of your own, why would you need something else? Now, can I bring it to the room? There's a lot of people in here who are very gifted and talented. We have folks at our church that have more talent than I do, and I just pretend like I can keep up. There's folks in my class, don't tell them I said this, but there's folks in my class who are incredibly talented. Very smart. Very intellectual. Very all the good things I can say. That's all the compliments you're getting out of me. They have all of these skills and abilities and talents. But man, those super talented people, it often leads to pride. It often leads to thinking that I'll go to church just in case I'm wrong. When you put self above God, it always leads to poverty. Oh, listen, you may have all the money you want in your bank account. You may have all the accolades and the degrees and all the things that you can put on your resume, but to do it without God means nothing. Because you're going to die just like everybody else is. So make sure you're not trusting in yourself. I have plenty of people at work who are like this. They think that they're where they are because of themselves. Their intellect and all of this and all these things I've already talked about. So don't be prideful. Don't be prideful. Self-awareness is a good thing. You ought to know what talents and skills and abilities you have. But that doesn't mean you get to be prideful over it. All right? So the fourth pitfall, and then we'll start heading this thing home here, okay? So the fourth pitfall is found in John 6:27. Let's go ahead and read the verse first, and then I'll tell you the principle. John chapter 6 and verse 27. It kind of sums up the pitfalls here. That's why I put it last. John 6:27. It says this, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." It says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't gain a paycheck to buy food. Okay, that's not clearly what it's talking about. The point is the perspective, going back to the title of the session here. Shift your perspective on work. Make sure that whatever you're doing, it's for eternal things. Do not live your life for anything that is around you right now. Do not live your life for the respect of your friends. Do not live your life for your bank account. Do not live your life to gain that college degree. Do not live your life for anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Clearly says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. The things that will fall away. The things that will end. Don't live your life for that. Don't live your life for that. So the fourth principle, the fourth pitfall, is the pitfall of meaningless labor. Meaningless labor. Now, I don't mean that you can't have an impact on people. That's not meaningless. But don't make sure that your perspective isn't so narrow that, again, it's all about you. It's all about what you can gain, what your reward is, the respect of your peers. Don't live your life for that. Y'all okay? Don't live your life for that. It's meaningless at the end. Make sure you're using good biblical principles, good positive aspects of work. Stewardship, diligence, hard work, all the things our flesh doesn't like. If your flesh doesn't like it, you're probably doing the right thing. Go against what your flesh wants to do. Work hard and be a good representative of Christ. So I want to finish up just really quickly by going over three things. Okay, here's my three points. Let's talk about the purpose of work. Three things. You ready? Let's go rapid fire here. Number one, the first purpose of work is so that you can be a testimony for God to the saved and to the lost. Be an example to the believer and be an example to the lost. Make sure that whatever you're doing, however you're acting, whatever you're saying, whatever jokes you're laughing at, that it's a good testimony. Did y'all hear me? I said that kind of fast. Do I need to say it again? Make sure that whatever you're doing, whatever you're laughing at, whatever you're telling, whatever you're saying, whatever your spirit and your countenance is, that it is good. You know, I can tell immediately what employees are having a good day and a bad day just by how they're walking. Can you? When your coworker comes in for a shift, you can already tell the mood that they're in. We're good at reading people, aren't we? We can read their countenance. We can read how they're walking, because when you work with people long enough, you know the baseline, right? You know how they kind of are. And if you're a good leader, supervisor, manager, a few of you raised your hands, you know your team. You know how they normally act. And so when someone comes in and they're a little off, you automatically know, don't you? Let's make sure that's not us. Because God expects his people to act a certain way. You know that one of the character marks of a Christian is joy? That doesn't mean you're walking around with a perma-smile, right? That's super creepy. Don't do that. But there's a difference between having joy and smiling all the time. Joy shows up not necessarily in how many teeth you show, but it shows up in how you respond to people. It shows in how gracious you're willing to be, how merciful you're willing to be, how encouraging you're able to be. And that's just one. God instructs us to have love and to have peace. You know the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5? But the fruits of the Spirit are, and you can go through and read it yourself, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Go through and read that. And then ask yourself, is this what I exhibited this week at work? Be a good testimony for the saved and for the lost. If you have a coworker like I do, who says that they're saved, but they rarely go to church, and all they want to talk about is the bad things, and they're never interested in talking about the Bible, it's probably a good indicator that you need to help them. I don't believe that God just puts people wherever for the sake of it. I think you're there for a reason. So be a good testimony to the saved and to the lost. All right, so the second purpose of work. Again, I've already touched on this, but stewardship of your God-given talents. Stewardship of your God-given talents. Whatever talents and abilities and skills you have, put them on display for Christ. Never in a prideful way. You hear me? Those of you who are creative, don't be afraid to be innovative for your company. People take note of that stuff. Just be like, hey, have we ever tried doing it this way? Have we ever tried doing this? Have we ever tried this initiative? I don't know what workspace everybody is in. But there's different ways to do just about everything. It may not work. It may not work. I've had people come to me with ideas and say, hey, you know, I really think we should try it this way. It may not work, but at least I know they're thinking about it. At least I know they're willing to change. You know, most people don't like change. But they complain about routine. Anybody notice that? One of my favorite things is every now and again, not very often because I don't want to send people into a frenzy, but every now and again, I'll change the order of service here at church. Man, I'm telling you, you never know how much Baptists like routine until they're supposed to, we ask them to stand instead of sit, and everybody's like, what's happening? That's it, Brother Mason's doctrine temporary, I'm leaving. We never like change, but we get tired of the routine. That's how our flesh is, right? But you know, when you can go into the workplace or the church, this is a broad principle. When you can think in a way that benefits everyone, when you can think of different ideas or changes, at least you're trying. At least you're being diligent. Use your brain. God gave you a brain for a reason, so use it. A lot of people aren't doing that either. So use what God has given you, and it glorifies him. Doesn't it? All right, so third principle, and then I'll be quiet, okay? Third principle. And this one should be obvious. The third purpose of work, you can probably all guess it. To provide for your needs. That should be obvious, right? Provide for your needs. Now, I want to be clear. It's not you doing the providing. God is the one who gave you the job. God is the one sustaining you. And you never know, your difference, your work performance could be the difference between you being laid off and someone else. Not sure if y'all know this or not, but a lot of employers will fight for the employees that they want to keep. Here not too long ago, there was, I don't want to, you know, go too far into this because I'm a little over time. In the structure of where I worked, there's multiple different unions, okay? And so there's an umbrella, there's a whole different process, it's a whole thing. That's the longest part of me learning my job is just how to deal with the unions. And so there's three separate unions. And so one of the unions could not get a contract set up with the company. And so at that point, we had, as the company, we had no choice but to lay a few off because we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if we were going to retain them, not retain them. It was a whole thing, okay? And so So I had a say. I didn't make the final decision, but I had a say in the decision on who the employees were that stayed during this contractual. But it didn't last very long, but it was a difference. And so I had an opportunity to say, this, I want to keep this one, this one, this one, because they are the most profitable. Yeah. Performance-based, evaluation-based. Yeah. And listen, I don't care what company you work for, they're all volatile. They're all volatile. You don't know. I know that a lot of people like to place their security. Oh, my job is never going to go away. Yeah, right. You see how fast technology is developing? You see how fast all of these, just think in the last 5 years, how much workspaces have changed. More and more computers and robotics come in, more and more people go out. As people retire, they're not going to backfill. Just telling you, this is the state of, this is where we're at. So you need to be set apart. And you know, the greatest thing that sets someone apart is when they are marked as one who serves God. Because they work hard. Because they're honest. Because they have integrity. Because they're somebody that the bosses can trust. Someone they don't have to babysit or worry about or micromanage, because they know that they'll just go do the job. Those are the people that stick. And if they won't keep you, somebody else will. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Okay, I wasn't trying to preach a in-your-face, you know, finger wagon type of message. Okay, that's not what this was. I want to encourage you in your work. Whatever you're doing, doesn't matter what industry, doesn't matter what company, whatever you're doing, there are characteristics that carry over. All of these biblical principles, stewardship and diligence and hard work, all the things I've said over and over, you know, I'm doing this on purpose. I'm saying these words over and over again, and I'm hoping that it'll penetrate somebody's thick skull here this morning. Because I cannot state enough, this is what employers look for. Yes. Working hard, diligence, forward thinking, all of these things, they are very attractive to an employer. And can I tell you, of the hundreds of people I've interviewed, those people stand out like a sore thumb, even in an interview. When you ask them a question, and they can speak confidently, what did you do at your last job? Well, I did this, this, and this. I helped the company grow this way. I worked on this project. When you can be articulate, when you can be confident, not because of yourself, but because of the God who has given you this opportunity, when you can do those things, you stand out. Now, in your current job, shift your perspective. Even if you feel like every time you walk in the doors, a piece of you dies. I feel like that was the most relatable thing I've said. About everybody laughed. Are y'all okay this morning? Wow. You know, we live in a culture of being dramatic, don't we? Man, Brother Mason, every time I walk in, it just takes a year off my life. Give me a break. We're being a little dramatic, don't you think? Those are the things I hear, though. So, what are we going to do about it? Let's shift our perspective. Let's be grateful for where we're at. Let's work hard to provide for our needs. Set yourself up for the future. And hey, while you're doing all of those things, you get a chance to serve God in a mission field that you didn't previously have. Amen. Don't you see what God can do with somebody who's willing to be used? What would happen? What would happen if you went to work one day and a coworker says, "Hey, I noticed that you worked hard. I noticed that you know you're honest and you do all these things. And so, where do you go to church at? That's your in. That's your in. That tells you that you're doing something right. So let me just encourage you this morning. Whatever role you're in, whatever you're doing." Work hard for God. Shift the perspective. Don't fall into this this dramatic, the sky is falling type of situation every time you clock in. Be different. That's what God calls you to be. Amen? Let's all stand if you would. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to have a brief moment of invitation here.